What you are about to hear are some highlights from those global websites and the UK's very own Indie Media site. For more information, or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
Hi, welcome. It's 1 p.m. on Wednesday the 26th of March. This is Indie Media Radio London.
Yay!
Broadcasting on Resonance FM 104.4 FM, bringing you highlights of the Indie Media news wires. Almost 1 week now into the declaration of war against Iraq and the US and UK attacks, we bring you a roundup of the anti-war protests from the UK and around the world. Millions have again been on the streets, with many taking direct action and engaging in civil disobedience in many parts of the world. Protests have been met with riot police, and there have been fighting between demonstrators and police in many cities. Here, an unprecedented level of civil disobedience has been seen as people responded to calls for action and shut down the centres of major cities throughout the country. Also in the UK, it seems the softly approach to peace protest policing has evaporated, and Indie Media is increasingly getting reports of draconian use of legislation, including the targeting of peace protesters under anti-terrorist laws, and a significant hike in the levels of police aggression towards demonstrators. That said, resistance has been widespread across the country, and coming up we'll be bringing you reports from the last few days as people join the world in saying no to the war.
And just before we continue, it's worth saying that there's daily anti-war reports and discussion live each day between 11 and 12pm here on Resonance FM 104.4. Independent and alternative news reporting is becoming increasingly important as the mainstream media continues to ignore both the peace protests and the changing police tactics in dealing with them. While many papers have featured details of demonstrations abroad, there has been little coverage of the scale of the grassroots rebellion occurring all over this country. Today, we hope to give you a selection of the events that have been rocking the streets over the last days of this evil war and update you on the latest planned demonstrations from the Stop the War Coalition and many other grassroots groups.
As last week's show was on air, students and schoolchildren were taken to the streets throughout the country, blocking city centres, in an internationally coordinated protest. Thousands reclaimed the streets, blocking off traffic in Birmingham, Edinburgh, Sheffield, Cardiff, Liverpool, Manchester and Whitehall in London. There were arrests as police dragged away teenage protesters and several reports of police violence, as well as students fighting back. Student walkouts and protests occurred throughout the day in scores of towns and cities across the country, including Leicester, Swansea and Worcester. As the countdown to war entered its final hours,
Thursday saw the official declaration of war, with the initial missile strikes and air attacks being limited, wrong-footing many who thought the attack would start with the much-heralded shock-and-awe massive bombardment. Even so, the reaction was swift, with campaigners shutting down roads in several cities during the morning rush hours.
As the morning continued, the protests gathered speed, with students and schoolchildren again taking the lead, with others joining their protests as the afternoon wore on. There were quite a number of arrests as clashes occurred throughout the country. Lancaster Town Hall was occupied, the centre of Leamington Spa was shut down. In Reading, the Labour Party South East Regional HQ was occupied. Over 5,000 people shut down the centre of Manchester, protesting and blockading roads. It was a similar story in Birmingham as thousands dropped everything and headed into the centre of town.
In Oxford, thousands of people converged on Carfax Tower, holding a rally before civil disobedience blocked three bridges. There were reports of police overreaction to the sit-downs, as indeed there were many of these protests. Demonstrations against war raged throughout Sheffield for 9 hours. There were multiple sit-down protests. The main roundabout into Sheffield from the M1 was occupied 3 times. Petrol stations, the local BBC office and the police HQ were also targeted by protesters. In Bristol, the centre of the city was gridlocked as thousands joined protesting students in blocking roads. Crowds pushed through police lines and the M32 was blockaded. In Glasgow, thousands halted all traffic in the heart of the city and the crowd took control over the streets around the whole Charing Cross interchange up until midnight. In Edinburgh, protesters stormed the castle and Princess Street several times. Die-ins were held while streets were again blockaded.
In Brighton, over 1,000 people protested and blocked roads, with some even occupying the town hall. There were later reports of police using CS spray on demonstrators. Nearby protesters also shut down the centre of Worthing. In Swansea, protesters staged sit-down actions at major road junctions. A march and an Esso blockade was held in Halifax, and protesters blockaded the entrance to many other Esso garages in Yeovil. Meanwhile, in Cardiff, the centre of the city was brought to a standstill for several hours before reports of clashes with police. Indeed, protests, blockades and direct action were reported from all over the country, too numerous to mention in what was the biggest display of civil disobedience any of us can ever remember. Coming up next, we'll have a roundup of Thursday's events in London on the day that war was declared. But for now, here's some more music.
Like the sermon on the mountain, says the Dharma got done. Hellfire and brimstone, swap for oil and guns. When we're pushing up we all look the same. In the name of the Father, maybe, but not in my name. On this Jacob's ladder, the only way up is down. One step from disaster, two to make the higher ground. Jacob's ladder.
Don't be lying. Listening to Indie Media Radio London on Resonance FM 104.4. Your radical radio.
That track before the jingle was Chumbawamba, Jacob's Ladder, made specially for the anti-war movement.
And now we're going into events in London last Thursday as war was declared. In London, the story was the same as the rest of the country, with students and school children taking the lead in immediate protests, which grew throughout the day as more people joined them. By midday, there were protests being reported in many parts of London. Hundreds of school children occupied and obstructed roads in Walthamstow, while blocks of hundreds more marched in towards Parliament Square, blocking traffic. There were early reports of fights with police, as some groups refused to be corralled and pushed through police lines. Sit-downs were reported near the City of London Financial District, on Tottenham Court Road, and in other parts of London. By 2 p.m, thousands were in Parliament Square. Reports came in that many school children had outwitted lines of police blocking Whitehall to stage a sit-down protest outside Downing Street. Then there were more reports of fights with police, with several arrests and injuries on both sides. By 3 p.m, the size of the protests had increased, and many roads around Westminster and Holborn were completely blocked. By 4:30, up to 5,000 people and students were in and around the Westminster area. Roads, including Whitehall, were also blocked by lines of police and mounted riot police as a helicopter thundered overhead. There were reports of clashes with riot police as demonstrators refused to be moved. There were also several reports of illegal arrests.
Okay. More people continued. By 6:30 p.m., Westminster Bridge had been shut down by several hundred dancing protesters. It remained occupied for some time before they joined the main crowd outside Parliament. Meanwhile, access into Parliament Square was tightly controlled, with several roads blocked off by police, and police vans were being used as barriers to restrict access on those roads that were open. Later, as news filtered through that the first massive bombardment of Iraq had started, Westminster Bridge was again occupied by another group of protesters, and spontaneous sit-downs blocked traffic in the surrounding streets. There were several reports of these sit-downs being cleared quickly and violently by the police. Back in the square, two mobile sound systems played music while huge pictures of injured Iraqis and anti-war slogans were projected onto the side of the building.
And next up, we'll be playing you a little bit of audio interviews that were done throughout the day in central London on Saturday.
Stop. Yes, oil's vital for lining your pockets, but is slaughtering people worth it?
What can you say to someone like George Bush? I don't think he would understand anyway, whatever you tell him. So I don't really know what you can say to him. Just go home. But
I just like to say, please, please, look into your conscience. Can't you see that there's people dying? Isn't there a better way to get rid of Saddam Hussein?
Resign.
Resign, yes.
Can I speak in French?
Mais je pense que Blair est vraiment plus pro-américain que les Français. Et il devrait prendre en considération le fait qu'il devrait plus être pour une Europe unie, et on s'est assez battu pour ça, pour que l'Europe soit unie, et je trouve que c'est un petit peu dommage que Blair soit plus du côté américain que français. Voilà.
I think they should try and enforce UN resolutions on Israel before going for countries like Iraq, which aren't a direct threat to America or Britain. Ariel Sharon is committing atrocities against his own people, against the Palestinians, on a daily basis. He continues to violate UN resolutions, and he himself has weapons of mass destruction, which are supported by the US government. I think, you know, the Blair and Bush administration seriously need to resolve the crisis, particularly in Israel and Palestine, before attacking other countries. And I think in doing so, they may get more support for actions in Iraq from the Muslim world. So I think that's a major issue which needs to be resolved.
Do you think things are going to... do you think that this is going to cause more problems later on?
Yes, I think it will. I think it will breed... I don't know if terrorism is the right word, but it will breed further freedom fighters. You know, there are going to be more enemies against Britain and America because of this action. The Muslim world, and myself as a Muslim, I'm not convinced that their reasons for this war is genuine. I believe it's for greed and it's for oil.
And that was audio from Saturday's demonstration. Back to Friday, at around 8:30, with numbers in the square now falling, several hundred protesters chanting "No Blood for Oil" and dancing to a samba band marching out of Parliament Square along Toothill Street towards Victoria. As the lead part of the procession turned down a side street after police blocked off their path with a line of officers, they were attacked violently by police who threw a cordon across the side street, dividing the crowd. There were many witnesses as police assaulted protesters and fights broke out. Soon after, and the major part of the crowd still in Toothill Street was surrounded by police and blocked on two sides by police vans. After a while, there was an attempt to push through one of the police lines that resulted in another hard clash as police sent reinforcements in to shore up the line. All the while, the drums were playing and the crowd was chanting, "No war, no war." Eventually, one of the cordons was removed and the group pushed back into Parliament Square, where they remained for a few more hours.
As the atmosphere calmed down, Parliament Square began to resemble a hippie peace camp. Several large campfires provided a focus point for discussions as people discussed politics and the war. Two sound systems were playing music on the grass as people danced, and there were several open mic sessions held where people made speeches and debated late into the night. Impromptu drumming and chanting sessions were underway as fire jugglers provided the entertainment while a samba band continued playing in the streets. Trees had been adorned with peace messages, some statues of long-dead military figures had been graffitied, and as time wore on, people scoured the grass, cleaning away the large amounts of litter that had been left behind after the day's protest. The square was finally reopened to traffic at around 10 p.m.
All right, and following that... Hang on. Later reports came in that several people had been attacked by police at Charing Cross Police Station. And we have a report now about that. I was actually in Charing Cross Police Station waiting to film injuries of people that had been hit on the demonstration. And while we were there, the police actually asked us to leave. And when people refused to leave, when people were trying to leave, they said, "If you don't leave, we'll have to use force." People were going out the door, but there were two guys who were kind of North African, and they were just waiting for some younger brothers that had been arrested earlier. The police hadn't actually asked these two guys to leave, and they just grabbed them and threw them out and began to beat them quite brutally on the pavement. The group of people who had originally been asked to leave went towards the door, and the police shut the door and blocked them in. Now, as I was trying to film, I was physically thrown out of the door and landed on the street. Here is some of the audio from that occurrence.
This is him! Laughing!
Okay, and you heard there, that was quite a violent sounding attack from the police. People are looking into taking legal action, and this is an appeal for anyone who was independent from the occurrence who might have seen something on Thursday, the 20th of March, outside Charing Cross Police Station between 10 and 11pm.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but everyone.
Carrying on with the reports from the last few days now, we're now up to Friday the 21st, which was the equinox. As the media was going into war overdrive, US bombers were taking off from RAF Fairford in Gloucestershire to bomb Iraq. There were local direct actions breaking out all across the country. In London, early morning traffic was obstructed by a critical mass bicycle protest. Later on, the Westway Road near Edgware Road was temporarily blockaded by protesters. Police soon arrived on the scenes and dragged and pushed people out of the road, shouting that people were being detained under Section 44 of the Terrorism Act 2000, a fact that alarmed many who were now being held up against railings by the side of the road. Police used the anti-terrorist legislation to search protesters thoroughly, but lied to several of them when they said that people were under obligation to provide their names and addresses, because under Section 44 of that Act, you are not obliged to give your names and address. They also failed to provide a written record that they had detained and searched people under the Act. In fact, recently police have been using the Terrorism Act against peace protesters near military bases, like the base at Fairford, but it has now spread to London. There was also later reports of traffic being blockaded in the Tower Hill area. More actions were also reported around the country, including die-in street blockades, while in Oxford, Esso petrol pumps were chained together and people locked themselves on garage forecourts with banners reading "No Blood for Oil." A local Labour MP's office was also occupied. In Manchester, early morning traffic was blockaded, but later attempts to block the roads failed when police moved in forcefully and there were reports of several arrests and heavy-handedness. The centre of Bristol was yet again blockaded.
Later in the evening in London, a crowd of up to 200 people occupied the roundabout at Old Street Tube and blocked traffic. Witnesses describe a completely over-the-top police response as they immediately began violently pushing people and punching some in the face, kicking others, assaulting cyclists and pushing some people into walls. A supportive crowd of onlookers watched outraged as the protesters tried to stick together and protect each other as they were pushed into a tighter and tighter area, with the police seemingly intent on provoking people. A small sound system was deliberately damaged by the police and one of the record decks confiscated. With more and more police vehicles and reinforcements arriving, onlookers cheered on the protesters and shouted, "Let them go!" to the police, while other observers expressed dismay at the police's obviously violent actions. After about 3 hours, the police pushed people off the road and allowed them onto the path, declaring that the fenced-off pavement area had now been designated a legal protest space and that people could continue their protest there. The roundabout was reopened to traffic as people dispersed, several nursing injuries, but many vowed to be back on the streets the following day to continue resisting this horrible war.
You gotta die, gotta die, gotta die for your government! Die for your country, that shit! You gotta die, gotta die, gotta die for your government! Die for your country, that shit!
Moving on to Saturday, last Saturday saw massive protests in central London as well as the rest of the world. In London, a national demonstration called by Stop the War Coalition brought up to 500,000 people out onto the streets. In the country's biggest ever wartime demonstration, sorry, pulled together in just 3 days, much of the media gleefully reported the numbers as largely down on the previous record-setting demonstration, but seemed to ignore the fact that the protest had come only after months of planning. The tone of the march was far more defiant than the previous march, however, and following the demonstration there were several road blockades, of which more later. In Edinburgh, lots of speeches and a die-in in front of the Scottish Parliament started the anti-war protest before schools. Students speeded the demonstration off to Princess Street to block the traffic several times with sit-ins before marching to the US consulate. Police until then had been astonishingly relaxed but became violent, aggressive and provoking when plainclothes policemen brutally tried to arrest a protester for no apparent reason, which kicked off the bystanders to intervene, resulting in more arrests and detention. The crowd finally walked off to have a solidarity picket in front of St Leonard's police station. The demonstration broke through police lines when police tried to block their way.
And more resistance in Glasgow, where there was a big demonstration with thousands yet again out on the streets. Some large groups of protesters were surrounded by police for over 1.5 hours until they were allowed to leave in small groups, but many continued blocking roads throughout the day and into the evening. In Manchester, a largely peaceful demonstration culminated in yet another heavy-handed policing of a small Muslim group. Over 1,000 people protested in Bristol, while throughout the country there were scores and scores of smaller events, with people protesting and engaging in civil disobedience in their own local communities. Saturday also saw thousands protest at US Spy Station at Menwith Hill, and in Yorkshire, and United States Air Force Base at Fairford in Gloucestershire, where US B-52 bombers have been taking off to attack Iraq. And we'll have reports from both of those events coming up in just a little while after some more music.
Number one is alive still. How many innocent people are killed? Do our soldiers believe in the fascism? No, they just couldn't get a job so they had to go and get ground up in Bush's war machine. What the fuck do the polls on TV mean? We won't give our consent to blow up foreign soil.
No blood for oil. War. What is it good for? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something. You gotta have peace.
January 15th, 1991. The deadline, curious George gave Saddam Hussein to evacuate troops in Kuwait. Oh yes, curious George Bush. The same curious George that vetoed the Civil Rights Bill. Ironic enough, the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, the drum major for peace. Understand it, it makes my blood boil. All foreign soil trading blood for oil. How many heroes will there be from this war? And what the hell are we really fighting for? Why in the hell would I serve my time to Sam? When Sam don't give a damn. Now here's an opportunity for peace and unity. Ceasefire in the Middle East. It's time to increase peace.
Right, at Menwith Hill there was a carnival atmosphere with many people dressed in tin foil. Music was provided by the Sheffield Samba Band and the Trolleyed Sound System, among others. There were several attempts to break into the base, one using a rope to pull down the fence and one to dig under it. Despite the huge police presence in and around the base, well over 1,000 people came together to send a clear message to the warmongers. We don't want your war, and we don't want your bases either. Meeting at the main gate, people of all ages marched and danced to sounds of the Sheffield Samba Band, foil kites, balloons, wind funnels, hats, banners and placards. As people moved on, having adorned the fences with foil, the protest was called Foil the Base, referring to attempts to disrupt the base through causing interference using kites made out of tin foil. Individuals and small groups breached the growing police lines to reach the fence and to decorate it.
Beyond the gates, the calls to invade the base increased. Groups of people began to surge through gaps in the outer small fences and ditches. A mass trespass of military land happened as police surged through trees and bushes towards the base. This was met by police with dogs and threats to arrest people. At least 8 people were arrested, although most were released later. Police clad in riot gear appeared from inside the base and some violence began. Some people were clubbed, kicked and set on. Young women and men were dragged face down through bushes, mud and trees and then ejected over fences. On the road, people shouted, "Shame! Shame on you!" at the police overreaction. People left determined to return for more protests scheduled at the base in coming weeks.
And next up, we're going to be playing you some audio from some surreal experiences from people from London who tried to get to RAF Fairford, or United States Air Force Base Fairford, to protest at the site of the B-52 bombers. And we've got a little audio presentation of what happened there.
Out of breath all day. What the hell happened?
We tried to get to the Fairford demonstration where the B-52's bombers are kept. We travelled in good spirits, 3 coach loads, and then when we got about 6 miles or kilometres outside of Fairford, about 60 police were there to pull the vans in.
Waiting for you?
Waiting for us. And then when we were asked one by one to come out of the bus, and be searched under the Section 60 of the Public Order Act 1994, which allows them to search for weapons and for things that you can cover your identity with either then or in the future. So they confiscated various things we had with us, which were like helmets and some padding and white overalls.
Your white overalls?
White overalls because they had hoods on them. And another aspect to it was really, the real reason was to delay us from getting to the protest.
I'm going to give you a record. Okay, say that for you. Okay. Right, you can have it all. Not
okay.
It, okay. Basically says who I am and the time you searched, etc.
A very sensual search, I almost got woody.
Lucky old you, that's all I can say. Get it where you can find it.
We just have this form on you now, yeah, saying that we searched the vehicle and sell pieces of our own from Hereford Station. Okay?
We actually need like a written statement that we've been taken, yeah, so people can get them back.
When you're ready, people, if you want to get on the coach, we'll be out of here.
Who do we actually write to get all the stuff back?
Can I have a look?
Constable.
Worcestershire Constable. Can I have a look?
No name. It's the Chief Constable.
I don't know his name. Listen, I'm from West Mercia.
Tim Brain.
There you go.
We do need a list, though. We do have to have a list.
When it's possible to do so, they'll make a list.
Mr. Brain.
Can I see if you can examine myself? Is that possible? Because I asked that when we came off, yeah, we're allowed to, and it was said you'll be done in front of us, but I haven't seen it. I've seen it.
We're trying to check when we get in, sir. So, but we're trying to get
on the bus.
On the bus.
We have to write in a written prison lawful. Yeah, confiscating these things. Because you've no idea that they're going to be used to conceal anyone's identity.
We've had that argument, haven't we?
We have, but I'm letting you know again, just in case you've forgotten.
I like it.
Alright,
fair enough. What's your name?
A good friend of the police.
You asked me my name, but I asked you yours.
You're
legally obliged to give it, aren't you?
No, I was just going to ask the first name. That's all.
Yes, indeed. No doubt you'll find out at a later date.
Really?
But, no, but, I mean, seriously, I mean, you've got a job to do and you've been told to do this. But I'm just letting you know that it is unlawful and illegal. Yeah. So what you've actually done is unlawful.
That's, really wonderful. That's your opinion.
Yeah. All right.
And I respect them.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Right, everyone go back on.
We're about to get back on the coaches, so I'll talk to you later.
A bit unhumorous.
What? Can you just repeat?
Yeah, we're 10 miles outside of Fairfield.
Confiscated, so we've got it on tape. Can you actually repeat for the tape? Well, you haven't mentioned the shields and the placards and the motorcycle helmets. But they've been confiscated as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they've been confiscated under Section 60. The shields and the placards. But you acknowledge that?
We've gone through.
So you do acknowledge that they were taken under Section 60, those things?
I told you that, yeah.
They have done. All right, excellent. Well, at least we know now. At least we have it on record.
Away from the area.
Sissy, sir.
Can,
no one's getting off. What did you just say?
Nobody heard that.
All right, we're
going to get back to London. And then, because they felt there was going to be a potential breach of the peace once again in the future, they then escorted us and threatened the coach drivers, who had nothing to do with us, with arrest if they did not follow the orders of the police, which was to escort us out all the way back to London, where different police units from different counties took over at certain borders.
What you said was that due to the items that have been seized, we can't go on to Fairfield because there might be a breach of the peace, and so we're going to be escorted back to London. That's what he said.
Did he quote any law? Did you know?
No, he didn't quote any law at all. No, he just said due to the items.
Well, if they some of our people
have walked on to...
Excuse me, mate.
Some of our people are in Fairfield. We need to pick them up. We need to pick up our people in Fairfield.
We need to talk.
No, we have people to pick them up. Oh, we have an
it's their transport to take them back.
We need people.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, they're pressing the door.
The police are pressing the door against me. They're using stray people. Hey, this is a moving vehicle. He wants to talk. He wants to talk to your senior officer. He wants to...
They've got five policemen pressing the door closed. We're in the middle of the street. They're filming me.
Don't let a guy in charge. Don't let a guy in charge.
They can't do this in legal terms, but they are doing it, so we have to comply, or else we would be violating something considerably more serious. Unfortunately, there isn't much that we can do about it at this point. It's really unbelievable.
So there was this ridiculous affair where protesters in three coaches had to be kept together whilst all other cars, comparable on the opposite scale of things to how you see ministers of state being escorted around with police in the front and police in the back. It was that situation. They wanted cheap.
We weren't in a presidential limo.
We weren't in a presidential limo in a really cheap coach. So then we ended up, seeing the situation where we saw police cars and motorbikes blocking the traffic at junctions on the motorway was to allow us to go through. So we had these clear roads up the motorway, which is an extraordinary thing. So we stuck up posters in the window saying things like illegal detainment.
As we went past us, it looked like almost like cattle, and we were just banging the windows like, let's have, with this, like, we are arrested illegally and this kind of stuff. And people were reacting quite nicely, actually. At some point, we get to a traffic light in Shepherd's Bush, and the three buses kind of started coordinating how can we get out of this situation, because we knew that they were taking us to Houston, and in Houston there was, like, 7 or 8 riot police vans waiting for us.
And that's when you called us and other people around. Go to Houston.
And then we thought, well, as soon as we get to Houston, there'll be again the same Section 60 thing, and we'll search everyone and film everyone again, and we don't know for how long it would take, so we thought we have to do something before we actually get to Houston. So people started talking on mobiles from bus to bus, let's do it, and we kind of saw the opportunity of opening the fire escape doors of the buses. Some traffic light in a junction where the three buses were stopped, people just moved to open the doors, and just people started to jump out of buses, and police came after us, and then they become quite violent. Then we managed to hold a demonstration in the middle of the street for like 10 minutes, before they came again really heavily, and then they started kicking people in the face. I actually witnessed somebody getting really badly beaten by police.
Like just on the butt?
Yeah, yeah. They got him, they pulled him behind a telephone box, and they started kicking his face and just with punching and like big time. Well, we managed to pull him out of the police.
You're listening to Indie Media Radio London on Resonance FM 104.4. Your radical radio.
And we're rapidly running out of time here, so just to say, at Fairford, thousands of people did protest, even though the people from London failed to get there. And while a lot of this show may have sounded slightly depressing with accounts of police violence and anti-terrorist legislation being used against protesters, people are still demonstrating and still intend to show their resistance and disapproval to the war. The Stop the War Coalition is now calling for local demonstrations all over the country this coming Saturday. Many are expected to focus on local Labour MPs who support the war. While in both Manchester and London, there will be protests against what campaigners see as the biased reporting of the BBC. Another huge national demonstration in London has been called for Saturday the 12th. Meanwhile, a number of protests are due to be announced for the week before. That's the weekend of the 5th and 6th of April. That's the weekend after next. Already scheduled for that weekend are a series of protests at least 9 military bases under the banner Reclaim the Bases. Meanwhile, tomorrow in London, Students Against the War have called a demonstration to march to the US Embassy in Grosvenor Square, and we think they're leaving University of Central London at around 5 o'clock. A quick plug, later in the evening, tomorrow night at 9:30, there's an Indie Media Film Night, which this month is showing Drowned Out, a film about resistance to a dam, with the director who will be there to discuss the film, and that's at the other cinema, 11 Rupert Street, and that's £5 or £4 concessions at 9:30 p.m. We were going to do a quick roundup of international protests, but believe me, there's far too many to mention. We were just going to do a sample. There's been hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets worldwide. For a glimpse of the scale of that, check out the global indie media portal at www.indiemedia.org. One figure that astounded everybody was the arrest total topping 2,000 people in San Francisco, where over the last week, the financial district was brought to a standstill. So that's right, over 2,000 arrests in San Francisco alone. So that's about it for us tonight. We didn't get time to talk about the blockades in central London after Saturday's massive demonstration. There were blockades in London. People did obstruct the traffic for several hours around Oxford Street and Park Lane. And hopefully we'll bring you a bit more of that audio next week. So for now, we're all going to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And remember, check out the Indie Media site, that's indiemedia.org.uk, and the Stop the War site, stopthewar.org.uk. And we're also going to play out now with a little compilation of some audio from various different protests around the country and some other stuff cut up and mixed in. So for those of you out there, be safe on the streets.
Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down.
We're like the bullies of the world right now, you know that?
And the voice of the harpers shall be heard no more at all in thee.
Throwing the pistol at the sheepherder's feet.
And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee.
Pick it up.
This is CBS.
This is PBS. This is ABC.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Good evening. The United States of America is at war.
It has been very poorly reported here.
Massive aerial bombing.
Labour whips and spin doctors will be proclaiming it a huge triumph.
From the president, we will not see him in public, we will not hear from him.
It believes that the case for war against Iraq has not yet been established, especially given the absence of specific UN authorization.
But with military action so imminent anyway.
Do you trust the Americans? Do you trust the Americans? Do you trust the Americans? Do you trust the Americans?
There's no comment.
what that means.
Armageddon, but with military action so imminent anyway.
250,000 British and American troops in Kuwait have taken up forward positions in readiness for war against Iraq.
Supporting a ceasefire.
Direct hit on two blocks of Baghdad.
The chief UN weapons inspector, Hans Blix, expressed regret that his teams in Iraq had not been allowed more time to complete their work.
The majority of the Security Council members believe that there are no grounds for breaking off the disarmament process carried out under the supervision of the United Nations now. We have to state clearly, under the current circumstances, the policy of military intervention has no credibility. It does not have the support of our people. It would not have taken much to safeguard the unity of the Security Council. There is no basis in the UN Charter for regime change with military means.
The United States says it won't attack until at least 1 o'clock in the morning, when President Bush's deadline for Saddam Hussein to leave the country expires. In Baghdad, preparations for an invasion are being made. Hospitals have been clearing their beds and few shops are open. Electricity supplies are starting to fail. The UN Security Council is discussing the crisis.
Just in case I hear something happening there, I'm frightened what will happen to my family, to the Iraqi people. I'm fearful because of what will happen. Nobody can say a war is a good thing. I don't think anybody can say that.
There have been a series of anti-war protests. School and college students joined demonstrations in Birmingham, Manchester, Sheffield and Westminster.
But it's the fact that you're making a point and that you can feel that, well, there's all these people with a conscience. So someone has to listen to us.
I think it's good, it's got everyone's well up for it and everyone's against the war, and it's good to see people aren't willing to see bloodshed for oil.
We're the youth. If they don't listen to us, we're going to be running it soon enough. And if we learn that you don't listen to the people, then how will that help us when we grow up and become politicians and we run our own dictatorship the way Blair is?
But I think Tony Blair and George Bush are both really ignorant and they don't really care what the people, young people think. But I think Tony Blair and George Bush are both really ignorant and they don't really care what the people, young people think.
War's never proved to be the right answer, and it never will do, because it just sparks off into another semi-wars and civil wars. And it's just never worked and it never will.
I don't think that we should go to war just for the women of the United States.
We should have learned by now.
This march is not just a scat cat skill, as some people think. This march is about something. We don't want people our age in a foreign country getting attacked just because someone wants more money or because someone won't be out of their country. We don't think it's right, and that's why we're marching today. Yeah, basically, yeah.
About this war, I don't know everything, but I know enough to know that war isn't the only way you can solve things, and there's definitely other ways that you can sort things out. Tony Blair and...
never agreed with war, and I think that we should exhaust all diplomatic solutions before we go to it.
I think it's a waste of time, and there's different ways of doing things, and it should not be this way. We do not think that we should be going to war when there's different ways of doing things that can be solved peacefully.
Exactly the same. Just Tony Blair and Bush should just think about it before they actually go and kill all these innocent people just to get one guy.
The 90% of civilians, the 90% of civilian casualties in all recent wars since the Second World War. And I don't think that we should go to war just for the women of the United States.
It's a mess. It's just making a mess.
We want peace. We don't want people our age getting killed because their politicians, their government are criminals, right? And our government aren't dealing with this in the best way possible. We don't want to go to war.
Trying to stop the war is a lot more
important. My friend Big Brother I've met a couple of times is really sad. He's in Kuwait training to go and fight. I don't want to see him get killed. I don't want to attend his funeral. I don't I don't want to see that family grieving because I think they're all really sad. I want this sport. I don't even want this sport. I don't want any war. I think Tony Blair and George Bush should listen to the people. More people think that we should not go to war than do.
I think it's good because a lot of people have turned up and it's going to show them that we are being serious about this. The atmosphere is very good.
No, we don't think the system works.
We don't want the system. It fucks up everything. I mean, they're always going on about how we live in a welfare state and it's a democracy, but it's bollocks. Because if it was a democracy, then we wouldn't be at war just now.
Because the people don't get their say. It's the people at the top who get their say, and not everyone agrees with that. In fact, most of the people don't agree with that, and that is why we're here today, to prove the point that not everyone agrees with that.
And I don't think the war will affect us right now, but it might. It's uplifting to see so many people here.
We all stand up to be counted, whatever, and you know, that's the only way things are going to change.
Everybody getting all worked up, and the young people aren't interested in politics, and after 2 days they have to, the Commissioner of Police in London has to ask them to go back to school. One of the happiest things I've seen for a long time. I didn't think that people would turn out. If I was Mr. Blair, I'd be more worried about this turnout than the 2.5 million. They actually patronise people. Mm. Blair patronised them. And the way he said, oh, those 2 million people, if they'd marched for a week, there wouldn't have been as many as Saddam Hussein had killed. It's an absurd argument. That's really stocky, you know. And it's based on the assumption that ordinary people don't really understand about the world. It's only clever people like him who do. That you mustn't let the boys down. Well, that's really irrelevant to the basic argument about the war. But maybe there's a change in the world coming, that the people are, they're not going to be pushed around. One of the happiest things I've seen for a long time.